Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Gilcast. You're either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football Feed. I am Davis Maddock. This is the Gilcast with Nate Noling and Sammy Reed. I know a lot of you guys like to tune into the show for when we're all miserable and tilting, and there's plenty of tilt to be had, but you're talking to three people who made money playing daily fantasy sports this weekend. So, overall, I think the theme of the day, Sammy, is just everybody got hurt. Like, everybody got hurt. Literally, like, every player in the National Football Association was, like, limping off on the sideline at some point today.
Yeah, it's going to be great for your seasonal sweats. This is going to be fantastic. We're gonna turn the show into like a seasonal show by week five.
And Davis, yeah, I mean, hey, I got some very fire teams in the main event. I think that the team I co-own with Leone right now is, I think it's in first place of the NFC Silver Bullet of all the teams. So pretty, just a little,
oh
little,
my God, we're talking
little
about
brag to start the show.
Cancel the show.
We're 2 minutes in and we're talking seasonal brags.
Nate, how we doing, bud? How was your Sunday?
Cash team did all right. So I'm having an all right day.
GP. Nate, I'm glad you just made it to the podcast, man. This is fantastic.
Yeah, you weren't at a grocery store with your wife right now. So that is a market improvement.
Yeah,
from
she took the dog for a walk. But I also got the right lineups in that I intended to play. So
big win. I think though, Nate, had you just slept in, you had the nuts last night though.
Yeah, I did. I got off Terry.
Did Davis talk you off the winning team? Because this happens three times.
No, because he played the worst play. Nate made the worst play out of all of us. He made the fear-based decision. What was it that Nate said to us?
Mentally weak.
Like, mentally weak. Nate made the mentally weak play of looking at Davante Adams' game log and not being able to fade it.
No. It is not his game log. I'm not using 20-20 one-week game logs to make decisions. Davante was in a great spot. I mean – Davante was the highest.
Let me read to you what Derek Carty said to me on Saturday night about Davante. He said, Adams is kind of a recency bias pick this week, IMO. I'm not jamming him. Much worse matchup than he had last week. Outdoors, 15-mile-an-hour wind, potentially bad game script. Okuda is going to be active in this game. Regression in target share. Game not going to be paced up. Carty knew, bro. Now, Carty also had Julio Jones projected for more points than Davante Adams, and we're going to get to Julio later. Trust me, we're going to do a whole segment on Julio Jones. But
Davante didn't get there because Davante got hurt. So you can't like victory lap this on anything other than, I mean, literally it was in the first quarter when he came up limp with a hamstring, and then was by the second half played like a drive. So I don't think you can say Davante was a recency bias play. I mean, he had the highest target share projection on the slate going into it.
Nate, it might just be time to take the L. I mean, it was a mentally weak play. Last week, you lost a bunch of money because you didn't have Davante, and you're like, I can't. My psyche is way too fragile to do this 2 weeks in a row. If Davante Adams goes off, they will kill me on the Gilcast. They will roast me into a coffin. And you had to play him. And
It wasn't even about Davante. It was about Corey Davis. So what got me onto Davante was I couldn't fade the Corey Davis at 4K anymore after the AJ Brown thing. Like, that was what it was. I had Terry and Amari and then was like, I can't fade Corey Davis at 4K here or I'm, like, never going to live it down. And
so
once I got Corey Davis, I just had the dollars to step up from Amari to Davante, and it was like a no-brainer.
So this is actually, I think, a great place for us to start the show. Everyone and their donkey played basically the same team in cash games this week. Like, I saw people who are straight up that good at DFS posting the team that everyone played, and we did not play this exact team, but everyone knew this team. It was Kyler. It was the three lock running backs. It was Davante Adams, Deontay Johnson, Corey Davis, Chris Herndon, and that team was the Dolphins defense that more people played. The Dolphins were more owned than the Jets defense. So Sammy, in a week like this, when you know the overlap is just going to be absurd, what are you thinking about registering your games? Like, are you like, I'm going to register, I'm going to do big field GPPs instead, I'm going to play head-to-heads instead? Like, what are you thinking when you know, like, we're, and we'll talk about some of the ownership percentages for some of these guys here in a second, but just what was your thought with, like, man, everyone's just going to have the same team?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely thought it was a way better GPP week than cash week, because all your decisions are going to come down to a 2v2 or a 3v3. And I also think, I mean, you want to game select as hard as possible. So, you know, up until lock, I'm scrolling through the lobbies trying to find as many no badges as humanly possible. I see all these soft, like, low dollar 50-50s, and Nate's already registered for them all, which kind of pissed me off. I just see Nate just hanging out in these fishy games and taking all my action.
But that's where all the soft action is. You save it until like 11:30, and then you just jam it all in, and you find all these like 11-man double ups that are like 9% rake versus the 12 to 15%.
So I actually think I have a pretty convincing argument against those games being profitable. And this is where we are going to go ahead and start talking about the teams that we
you're not profitable in them.
I was gonna say, I above the cash line, Davis. I am.
My team, yeah, my team was fine. But I will. So this is the ownerships in the massive $25 double up. Zeke was 52. Jonathan Taylor was 62. Derrick Henry was 71. Right, and we all agreed that if you did not play that combination of those three running backs, you were paying the rake. And this is a single entry. $3 double up, right? So these are the ones we're being like, oh, you know, everyone's fishy. All of those guys, 10% more owned. Zeke, 70%. Jonathan Taylor, 77%. Derrick Henry, 83%. And then in the 100-man ones, the ownership was even more concentrated. So my thinking was, I actually wanted to enter the biggest contest possible this week, Sammy, because just the likelihood of people not playing those three running backs was so much higher, I thought, in like the massive and the giant double ups on DraftKings.
No, yeah, these 11 man
double ups. I play all those every week. So
these 11 man double ups are the softest contests you'll find, especially the ones that fill up right before lock at 11:30, 11:45.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, and it doesn't need to be a mutually exclusive thing. You can play both of these types of contests, which I do. I mean,
yeah,
obviously, I think the largest field, you know, double ups and 50-50s are going to be the most profitable because you just get a higher percentage of fish in them.
Well, and also I do
think rake actually plays quite a bit of a factor here that most people don't realize is these higher field double ups.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of them are legitimately 13%+ rake when you can get 9% rake for these 11 man double ups. And right. I do think that over a period of enough time, like that rake, you will regret paying that 3.5-4% increase in rake.
So my thought actually was, I just want to play as many head-to-heads as possible this week, because I actually think that is the right combination of you're going to play against a bunch of soft lineups and you are going to save on rake, right? Because head-to-head rake is 10%. Yeah. So before we rag on Nate too hard, I was also mentally weak. I played Davante Adams on FanDuel because it was not hard to do that. So I also got mentally weaked there as well.
As far as week one, I have very little 2020 data going into my models, and Davante was still the number one play of the week.
Wide receiver. Yeah. So. All right. So digging into the specific plays here, I have our three man that we actually remembered to play this week. So again, 2 weeks in a row, we actually remember to play it. Great stuff. Was there any thought of not playing Kyler, Nate, or was he just like the guy?
No, Kyler was the guy. I mean, Dak was like the only other quarterback that I ever considered this week in cash, but the salary discount on DK, just like, it was him.
What about you, Sam? I mean, I like on Monday or whatever, Tuesday, I really wanted to play Dak, and then just kind of as the week evolved, it just became a little like obviously, and we'll talk about this why with wide receivers later, it just became a little bit less tenable to play him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really build my cash lineups. I don't even really start until, you know, Wednesday or Thursday, something like that. But literally when I looked at the prices Sunday night, after we recorded. I looked at everything and I put three guys in my lineup. I put in Kyler Murray, I put in Jonathan Taylor, I put in Deontay Johnson. And from that point, for 7 days, there was never a single doubt for me that I was going to play all three of those guys, like no matter what. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's reasonable. And, you know, obviously we loved the Kyler rushing floor. Tuttle had this take on the Swolecast that because Washington has that good front seven, he actually was going to be more likely to scramble in this game. And it actually, no, it was legit. It like, I mean, that was like a total hand in the dirt, like football guy take, but the second touchdown run in particular was not a designed run. And he was able to get free because they like basically blitzed seven guys and there was no one in the secondary to tackle him once he got past him.
I just love Tuttle. He's just too sharp, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just Kyler was the quarterback play. I think maybe there was a team where you could have played Dak. If you played Perryman, you could have played Dak, I think, the way it broke out.
If you played my team, except instead of going up to Devontae, you played Julio, you would have ended up with Dak at QB. If you like really wanted to go overweight on that Atlanta Dallas game, you could have easily gone.
I did want to go overweight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like in cash, you could have avoided going up to Devontae and gone Julio and then gotten Dak there.
I mean, just I don't even want to say Julio's name for the rest of this podcast. Can we just call him blank or redact him or something?
Well, like, we can just call him the second wide receiver in Atlanta. I mean, because that's
the third wide receiver?
Buddy, the second?
No, son. No, he's like number four. No. I mean, you got the alpha, you got Calvin Ridley, right? You've got Gage, who actually gets yards and touchdowns. And then you have Hurst, who takes advantage of, like, blown coverages. And then way down you have Julio, who, like, is a decoy and catches passes only occasionally when he's not limping off the field.
What's the rule with Julio? You can't play him when he's chalk. You can only play Julio when nobody's on him. Like,
is he chalk today?
I mean, he had to be the –
What was he on?
Highest on wide receiver.
No, he was on 15%, bro.
No, he was not. He was not the chalk at all, Nate.
Yeah,
he was.
Devontae Adams was 60% owned in some of these double ups. Julio was not chalky.
I mean, literally Devontae Adams getting hurt is the only reason I made money today.
Yeah, or just like not performing well, and people played Paris Campbell. People played Perryman, who got injured. Campbell and Perryman both got injured. Okay, let's talk about the running backs now. Let's not get too far. Jonathan Taylor, Ezekiel Elliott, Derrick Henry. Let me tell you this: I have learned my lesson with the big dog. He is just not a play on DraftKings. It doesn't matter. They could. I mean, maybe against like. Chad Kelly is the quarterback of the Colts or something, and they're like 14-point home favorites. But I'm not doing this again with the big dog.
No, we shouldn't do it. It was one of those things where we just kind of took it for gospel that he should be played because he was like a home favorite, and he's Derrick Henry, and he always smashes the Jaguars. I actually got into like this discussion on Twitter because I was sad that I didn't get to play Benny Snell, because I would have played Benny Snell over Derrick Henry if James Conner was out. And the guy was like, no, you can't do that. I'm like, yes, you can. They're both two down bangers on like home favorite teams. Like, what? They're not $3,200 different. You can use that money better elsewhere. No, you just can't fade Derrick Henry this week. And it's like, dude, if he doesn't score a touchdown, I mean, it's just, he's useless. He was a waste of $7,900. It was like, he scored 8.4, an empty 84 yards for the big dog. It's just unnecessary. I think we just kind of took for gospel that he needed to be played. And in retrospect, I'm not sure that that was actually sharp. And I'm trying not to be results oriented.
But yeah, it's like the first time I've played him in cash in maybe ever. And yeah,
8K
the whole time.
A guy who like barely catches the ball. I know Darrington Evans was out. So it's like, oh, maybe he'll get some more, you know, stuff. But like until we see it, like we're just assuming.
You have to have him for lower than a 10% target share projection. You just have to. And I think paying 8K for a running back with less than a 10% target share projection is just bad.
I mean, this is the thing about Henry. we got all gassed up because he had three catches last week when the Titans ran like what, like 86 plays or something.
Right. And, yeah. Tannehill threw it like 72 times.
And they that game was on the red zone a bunch because there were so many touchdowns in that game. I mean, they weren't even looking at him, dude. Like, I don't even remember Tannehill having the check down to him and not taking it. Like, it just was not a part of their game plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not good.
When you have Jonnu Smith out there who can just
Man. How did you not play Jonnu Smith? Well, actually, Sammy, how do you not play Jordan Reed, the 2-touchdown minimum salary?
All right, let's talk about this because I've kind of been afraid that I might have lost my touch. Like, I didn't play Logan Thomas in cash last week for like the Stoneman, and then I didn't play Jordan Reed in cash this week. And literally when you told me Kittle was out, I was like, I was texting you. I'm like, yes, it's lit. It's happening. And then I didn't end up playing him. I had to get in Herndon. Just had to get in Herndon, bro. Like, Herndon's such a good play. I'm super tilted about this week. Like, actually made money in cash games. But, like, our lineup was bad, Davis. Our lineup was dumb.
Yeah, no, our lineup was not good. Our lineup was – there were some real structural issues with our team. Yeah, so –
I don't know what other people played for us to make money today, but like there was a huge profit potential.
Oh, we can do some research.
Here's what happened, Sammy. Other people's top wide receiver that they paid $8K for played like 12 snaps.
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
Yeah.
Devontae should have smashed you. Deontay Johnson was chalk.
He was 35% owned.
That is chalk for a wide receiver that's 4 or 5K.
Yeah, 4.5K. But that means 2/3 of people did not play him.
He was the second most owned wide receiver, though. If you were going to make money this week, Devontae Adams was the highest owned wide receiver. That's why you guys made money, because you lucked out with a luck box injury. Like,
a little bit.
Davis is like, okay, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, me and Davis played Julio Jones that had a game that had 79 points, 153 plays, 950 yards, and Julio Jones got like one catch. Like,
yeah, the Julio thing is pretty tilted.
I mean, I thought Julio was a good play. I still think he was a good play. I just don't understand how he doesn't hit in this spot.
Yeah.
How's that possible?
The Julio thing was tilting because I had a ton of Julio.
You should. This was the game. So this was the game. So like, just, I mean, are we talking about receivers now?
Yeah, let's talk about our three receivers, and then we can tight end as well.
I have one question about running backs. Did you guys ever consider any other running backs?
No. I should have.
No, I didn't. I considered for like half a second playing Melvin Gordon against the Steelers at 5,300. And I'm going to go look at the box score right now. I think he was the only running back to get a touch. I don't think they played Royce Freeman at all. So
I think he had a pretty good game. Gordon did.
Yeah. So Gordon had 19 carries. Freeman had three. Gordon had three targets. Freeman was not targeted.
I probably would have played like Kenyon Drake or something, who sucked.
Yeah, Drake.
I was going to say, I thought Drake and Gordon were fine. Like, it was just that Taylor was such a smash play.
Why weren't we thinking about playing Aaron Jones? Like, why are we so fishy that we didn't consider Aaron Jones more?
My attempt share projection for him was way off. Like, I have him projected for like, and I got to dig into why, but like,
it's because historically he's really only been like 55-60%.
Yeah. I had him projected for like the mean of 56% rushing rushing attempt share, and then like a ceiling of 62%, and he took like every snap. Even after like they were winning in a blowout, and Devontae Adams was just sitting on the sideline.
I had Aaron Jones in a seasonal matchup against Evan Silva that I'm losing by 30 points. That's how my Aaron Jones exposure went for today. I mean, I would never. I don't even after watching Aaron Jones go for 50, I still wasn't like, man, I wish I played that guy in cash, because he's just not really a cash play, because he just disappears for four games in a row. He won't score a touchdown and they won't go to him, because that's just not how they're built. They play freaking Tyler Irvin. Like, they'll play four running backs, dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, now that I'm looking at the, like, when you have Jamal Williams projected for some touches, you have Tyler Irvin, you have AJ Dillon, like it is hard to play him in cash compared to when you're paying that price for guys like they need to see a significant percentage of the workload.
All right, let's talk about our receivers, because the whole thing,
the whole slate came down to wide receiver 3, tight end, and defense.
Right, like everybody with multiple brain cells had Kyler and, you know, Henry, Zeke, and
they were all 70% plus owned in reasonable contests. So
we came down to the 3 receivers and how you were going to run it. There was a bunch of 4,000 to 4,500 receivers that all made sense and had some merit. And then there was, you know, a couple of high-priced guys that people were going to go to. Nate, how did you end up parsing yourself? Because you kind of went back and forth like we talked about at the beginning. You were like, oh, I want to go, you know, McLaurin and, you know, Amari Cooper. Like, what got you there? And then seriously, why did you not do that?
Well, I mean, the McLaurin thing, I stand by. I think McLaurin was a great play at this price point. The only thing that got me off McLaurin was just construction, because I thought the Corey Davis thing at 4K. I thought Corey Davis projected for more volume than almost any of those other 4K wide receivers, and he was lower than all of them. So while I love Deontay Johnson, I had Deontay Johnson locked in. When we were talking about, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Paris Campbell, all these other guys, Corey Davis was the clear number one target on that team now with AJ Brown out. So it was like, I have to take the slam dunk with the 4K. And he was – Corey Davis to me was like significantly better play than Scotty Miller. Like, people were comparing those two. I don't
Scott, see them Scotty almost scored, man.
I don't care. I
would have been body bagged if he had caught that touch.
Like, Scotty Miller is like a 5'10". I think you might be taller than him, Davis. And he's like a fifth round draft pick, where Corey Davis literally has been a stud his entire career. And like,
he hadn't had a 100-yard game in 26 games before week one.
What you just said.
Talk to me about Corey Davis being a stud.
I don't think I heard you quite right.
Yeah, very interested in this.
Corey Davis's profile is absolutely – he's an athletic freak.
What do you mean his profile?
Oh, Nathaniel, buddy.
Corey Davis at 4K getting a 20-plus percent guaranteed target share is like a slam dunk at 4K. It's a slam dunk at 4K. So I took that, and then the Devontae thing. I didn't even like – significantly loved Devontae more than I loved anybody else. I had Devontae and DeAndre pretty close, but I just went Devontae.
Oh man, if we just would have used our brains and been like, you know what, we have Kyler, we should play Hopkins instead of this Julio guy. We are wiping our butt with money right now.
Oh my God, I was so close to being rich.
It did not occur to me once to play Hopkins instead of Julio.
Why did you guys all fade Corey Davis?
He fucking sucks, Nate.
Yeah, dude. They threw the ball 24 times. Like, that game, what was it, 33-30? And Tannehill.
I want to go look at his game logs from last season.
Let's do some 2020 game log surfing, bro.
How many times do you think Corey Davis had 4 or more receptions in 2019? Ooh, and this was when? How many?
It's twice.
It's 5 times, including the playoffs. He had 4 or more receptions. He had no 100-yard games. He scored 2 touchdowns in the regular season. He had 1 3-yard touchdown in the playoffs against Baltimore.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. AJ Brown was out today, right?
Yeah.
Sure. AJ Brown didn't really play for the first 8 weeks of the season for Tennessee last year. And Corey Davis was nothing.
No. I mean, when you project out, what are you going to do? Give Adam Humphries a 25% target share?
I mean, our stuff liked him. I just was not going to play Corey Davis because I've done this before. Brown with the football with Corey Davis so many times.
Okay, yeah. He's 4K facing Jacksonville with a 25% target share projection with, like, Tannehill. Like, this Tennessee offense is not what we, like, think it is. I know we want to rip on, like, David Kitchen and everything and, like, oh, Tennessee bunch. But, like, Tannehill targets and at 25% target share versus Jacksonville at 4K, like, he's a slam dunk.
He was not a slam dunk in no way.
Tennessee had a 26. I need to just get it out in black and white.
Tennessee had a 26.5 team total, and the leading wide receiver target was 4K on that team.
I mean, here's the thing you got to
understand. He was targeted the same amount of times as Jonnu Smith, less than Adam Humphries, and he had fewer receiving yards than Anthony Firkser.
I understand that after the game. I'm saying going
and I'm telling you, I foresaw this. In my mind's eye, I saw Anthony Firkser running free down the field while Corey Davis blocked for him. And my mind's eye was correct. If Corey Davis doesn't catch a 9-yard touchdown, you're tilting your whole face off about his game.
That's a fact. Corey Davis sucks. Like, he never gets it done.
Nate, this is straight up. Like, I understand the logic why he was a play. I would not call anyone a fish for playing him, but your logic of this guy is a lock is it's bad. It's
yeah,
just
Corey
bad.
Davis is never a lock. Never ever. Ever. Ever, 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 ever. So I didn't play him. I wanted to play good players, you know? I wanted to play CeeDee Lamb, like a guy who catches the ball, like in a great game environment, who can catch and run and like do things. He's actually good. Like, I wanted that. So like my whole thing is like, So me and you, Davis, we ended up going Julio, CeeDee Lamb, and Diontae Johnson. Johnson was just a stone lock.
I agree.
I'm very disappointed that both of you guys played him, because this would be such a better show if somebody hadn't done it. I would just be windmill dunking for like 45 minutes, and it would be great, but we don't get that. I guess we're not complete fish. But The way I broke the tie is I wanted players in this Atlanta and Dallas game. Like, it rated before the game to just be this immense scoring fest with a ton of plays. Like, if you check out like Pat Thorman's pace stuff, I mean, this game was just going to go super fast, a ton of plays. And I just wanted players in that environment. So that's kind of why I went Julio and CeeDee over the other combinations.
Yeah. I mean, I thought CeeDee was the best. I actually thought he was better than Diontae, but he was $200 more expensive, and like that money actually really mattered this week. I thought CeeDee was the best play under 5K. You know, this was a week where, I mean, we had unlimited options, right? So we had Christian Kirk, we had CeeDee Lamb, we had Diontae Johnson, we had Corey Davis, we had Perryman, we had Paris Campbell, we had Scotty Miller, we had Mike Williams, right? There were so many guys. Levitan noted this on Twitter a couple times. You know, he does that piece every week where he looks at guys under 5K on DraftKings projected to see five or more targets, and he said this was the most guys he'd ever written up for that piece. It really was an extraordinary week. And for me, Lamb was the best one. And that was, Nate, a big reason why I wanted to play Julio Jones over Davante Adams, was just because, so I didn't have to play Corey Davis, Scotty Miller, Rashad Perryman, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Perryman was like a guy I loved in tournaments, felt thin about in cash. So I get it. If it wasn't for Corey Davis opening up, I probably would have ended up on the same team you guys did. If Vadier Brown plays, I play Julio and CeeDee probably. Well, no, I'd
I'm glad.
I probably really play Mari and Terry.
I'm really glad that I got my Julio in cash out of the way in week two, and it was a winning week, because I just won't be tempted for the rest of the year. And I feel like that's actually – like, the fact that this happened in week two instead of, like, week seven, I feel like it's a real blessing, Sammy, that was just, like, I won't be tempted to go back to it.
I mean, I don't know a player that has – I mean, Julio's, like, the all-time leader in yards per game, and yet he never wins anybody any money. Is it crazy?
Well, no, he did – the Carolina Panthers week where he had 300 receiving yards.
Right, we 301, yeah.
I want to say Nate didn't play him that week, but maybe he did. Maybe I'm just saying that because I want to hate on Nate. But I remember that being one of the best skill casts ever.
I think I've played plenty of Julio. Julio's an air yards like stud. That's why I always end up.
How much is it chapping your ass that Bobby Trees is just owning souls?
did you just come a little in your pants when he scored the rushing touchdown?
Dude, the rushing equity. You got to count the rushing equity when you're projecting Bobby Trees.
I mean, it's true. They rushed like 40 times to their receivers last year. It's a thing.
It's crazy.
Doesn't show up in the air yards though.
Okay, no. So we
Tyrod thing, like just killing all my GPP teams, like nobody mentioning that he was hurt before the game even started.
That was, I think we've seen the last of Tyrod. I don't think he'll ever start another game in the NFL.
Like, Herbert's just going to take over now forever?
Yeah, I mean, they took the Kansas City Chiefs to overtime.
I know. And Joshua Kelly had 23 rushing attempts.
Oh my God, my Eckler share is just bare. I mean, Eckler even had a good game, but it's just,
yeah. But Herbert, yeah. Herbert is what you wanted, right? If you, yeah, if you are
wanted Eckler, Herbert is like your dream come true.
Yeah, if you're massively invested in Eckler, yeah, you needed this, Sammy.
Yeah, I did need this. Yeah, Tyrod ain't that right, man. My chest hurts. You know why his chest hurts? Because he ain't got no heart. That's why. So he's out. He's out. Get a kid who can involve his running backs through the air. Get him in there.
We gotta roast Nate a little bit, because this morning I saw that another permutation of our potential team was Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, and Perryman, and then getting to Logan Thomas over Herndon. And Nate was not a fan of that. Nate was like, what are you talking about with Mike Evans, dude? And Nate went full like narrative on us. He was like, there's no connection. There's no chemistry between Mike Evans and Tom Brady. It was like Nate decided to be like Sammy and I for like 5 minutes and was like just hot taken to the wind about Mike Evans not being a good play.
Every once in a while, Nate tries to feel like it's an art, you know, and he tries to be an artist, but it fails like it did.
Yeah, it was a weak point. I went on like a 5 minute rant about how bad Mike Evans is.
And then
120 yards and a TD on me.
When I posted that video of all the Brady's deep throws from last week and they were all on the money, did you immediately know that it was bad?
No, I'd seen that video like 3 times this week.
Oh, speaking of L's, Ronald Jones was like my fourth most owned running back in tournaments, and it was going fine, right? And then the fumble.
Touchdown, everything was great.
We're never going to hear the fumble, dude. We're never going to hear from him again. It's Leonard Fournette.
Brady just
McCoy.
Looked at him and was like, you made me look like an idiot.
Again. For real. Like, dude, we're never going to – like, Rojo is dead. It is Uncle Len's backfield. Now, everyone is going to go ham against Carolina. It looks like Carolina is the – you play all the dudes against Carolina this year. It seems like they're that team, but – yeah, Uncle Len is the real deal now.
Speaking of L's, can we all take an L here on Herndon? Because that was.
We all played him. Or wait, did you play him last week, Nate? We all played Herndon last week, and we somehow didn't learn our lesson. Like, what did we think was going to happen? We thought that removing Jamison Crowder was somehow going to make the Jets' offense better. Like, Logan Thomas was right there. Mo Alie-Cox was right there. And who I really want to tilt at is Kyle Shanahan. Dude, the Shanahan's, dude. This report where he's like, yeah, you know, we're keeping him on a snap count. We're thinking, you know, 15 to 20 snaps. This dude has 2 touchdowns at halftime, had already ran like 25 pass routes. It's just like, first of all, Sammy, you should have been like, you know what, dude? I don't even care about Shanahan. I'm playing Jordan Reed. He's 2,600. All I need is like 2 catches for 40 yards, and if he scores a touchdown, it's all gravy. And somehow you did not, as the tight end whisperer, you've played Herndon 2 weeks in a row too, Sammy, and you're supposed to be the chief tight end guy.
Your brand is hurting. Your brand is hurting, Sammy.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing for me. I play bad tight ends all the time, like outside of Darren Waller weeks. It's just – I mean, I don't know what to do at tight end. The most embarrassing thing about today was like 10 minutes before lock, I actually felt excited about Herndon. And then when Perryman was like out, and I was like, oh man, he's gonna see 30% of the targets. I was legit like excited when I saw the Jets were like moving, and I was like, it was embarrassing.
I mean, so honestly, like, this was a huge missed opportunity, because, you know, this is like the second coming of the Ross Dwelly game from last year, which Yeah, and, you know, it was just this prime opportunity, not just to win a lot of American dollars, which I missed out on the opportunity to do because I played Chris Herndon again and like a giant fish, but I could also sit here and tell you guys, oh, you bros, it's more of an art, you know, you just got to feel what's going on, you know, with the team, and smash you guys with Jordan Reed while you idiots played Chris Herndon. And instead, I'm just another idiot that played Chris Herndon, and that is the real shame of what happened here. So – I don't know what else to say. Like, I have just giant gills, and I blow bubbles. That's me. Big fish.
The Jets are fantasy Siberia. Frank Gore had 21 carries in 2020. 21 carries.
We played two Jets. We played their defense.
The defense was fine. I have no qualms at the defense. The defense was fine.
You should just play zero jets at all times. That's a really good rule of thumb. If we had followed that rule, we would have a lot more money.
I just would have played any 2K defense this week. Unless they were playing like the Chiefs or the Ravens, I would have just played a 2K defense.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you get a little overconfident. I mean, dude, what did the Jets get? 4 points? That's actually fine.
It's fine.
For 2K.
Like, people, like, yeah, like, it's like people just get overconfident. And they're like, I mean, on FanDuel in this slate that happened to work where the chalk defense was the Cardinals and they beat up on Washington. I think they got like 12. I'll have to go look. But yeah, I mean, I just, the 2K defense was clearly optimal in this slate, I think.
Yeah, and it will be a lot of weeks, and I think we got pretty excited and happy about ourselves for smashing Washington last week. We're just like, oh, we'll play 2K every week and just find the team. It'll be easy. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out.
Sometimes it doesn't work out, and this was one of those times. So we need to talk – we kind of skipped over it. We need to talk a little bit about why we didn't try and play Logan Thomas. Why we didn't try and play Mo Alie-Cox. Like, what, Sammy, was it about Herndon that you were just like, you know what? Like, let's do it, dude.
I mean, so first of all, I bought into the offseason narrative that Herndon's just, like, back and he's, you know, this legit number one tight end. And then number two, I mean, I like getting tight ends where their team should be down some and they have to throw a decent amount. And he had a 20% target share in week one. So I'm like, okay, this guy's talented. He's going to be like their second most targeted dude. And they're playing San Francisco, who, I mean, you know, San Francisco's got a good defense, but it's like, what are they going to do? They're going to throw it underneath. You know, the pass rush is good. They'll have to get rid of it quick, you know, just made up all the sweet smelling reasons. I just thought Herndon was good and was going to see targets. But the reality is, he's a Jet. Anybody managed by Adam Gase is not going to get it done for you. That is just a physics fact of life. And for me to forget that and play Herndon 2 weeks in a row when I could have just done my thing and smashed low price tight ends instead, it's a real shame, man. I don't know what to do with myself now. I don't know who I am anymore.
Nate,
you need to do some searching here.
Yeah.
Did you think at all about Mo Alie-Cox?
No, I told you guys I was excited about Herndon. It wasn't like a begrudging play. I literally was like, oh man, Jamison Crowder's out. This dude is. Oh, he's become an offseason monster. He's going to get all the tight end or all the touchdown equity. I mean, he's just, I mean, I just, he was a Jet. I just need to exclude the whole team.
That's right. Because there is no touchdown equity, Nate. That's the
There's
thing.
Zero. Yeah.
That's the thing. 20% of zero is still zero. That's the math. It's really more of a science when you think about it like that.
Yeah. I guess it is really more of a science. I mean, I think that, one of the reasons why people played Corey Davis was they were really excited to play Logan Thomas. And I think that looks correct right now, right? Like Logan Thomas looks like a legitimate volume guy at the tight end position. Let's see how much he ended up with here. So he got 9 targets. So that was second most on the team. He had the most targets on the team last week. He had 2 weeks in a row of getting an end zone target. Like Logan Thomas is going to be like a top 10 fantasy tight end. He was 3,600.
Gesicki and Fant also went off.
Dude, Fant is like Darren Waller. Yeah. Well, not Logan Thomas is Waller from last year. Fant is like Mark Andrews from last year, where he went from like the
big and fast, bro. Like big and fast and good.
We will get back to the guys in just a moment, but big thanks to our sponsor, DraftKings. Last week, of course, is in the books. Now it's time to review the tape, prepare for this week, and there's no better place to get in all the action than at DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to the excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head on over to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. You draft your lineup, you feel the sweat, and there's nothing that adds to the excitement of games quite like having a shot at $1 million. And of course, DraftKings, if you don't know, they've paid out billions since 2012. So they know a thing or two about cold hard cash. So download that DraftKings app now. Use that code DFF for a limited time. New users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on week 3 action. Enter code DFF to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code DFF only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Min $5 deposit. Required eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, let's get it back to Davis, Nate, and Sammy on the Gilcast.
Yeah, and I mean, Courtland Sutton got banged up and left this game again. So, yeah, I mean, I think he is just a super strong play.
Your boy Gesicki, though, Sammy, also put up – I mean, he had 11 targets for 130 yards, like, in a touchdown. Gesicki put up like a 20.
Basically, any other tight end besides Herndon. There was no other bad tight end plays except for Chris Herndon on this slate. We managed to all play him. I don't know how we made money. Like, what happened out there?
Dude, we already told you. It was 60% on Davante Adams, got like 4 points.
But we had Julio.
But we had – well, also, if we want to talk about running good, the Cowboys have the most improbable onside recovery of all time. And
you
on
guys
that
get
drive,
the CD bonus.
They immediately go to CD, and CD gets like a 22-yard gain or something and hits the bonus.
I did like that. That was pretty super.
Yeah. I mean, CD looks like the best player on the Cowboys. Like, I think he will – I bet by, like, week 9, we are projecting CD for more targets than we are projecting Cooper for. I really wouldn't be surprised. Do you think that's outlandish, Nate?
Yes. Gallup is also in the mix, and I think –
No, Gallup's done, dude. Gallup is number 3.
Gallup is on an island, bro. All they do is just throw it deep to him, like, 2 or 3 times a game, and that's it. He's relegated to just like deep guy.
I mean, literally last week Amari had like 14 targets. Let's not like just take Amari out of the equation. He's out good. Don't get me wrong.
No, he's out of the equation, Nate. he's out of the equation, dude. It's CD scissor.
Davis game samples.
Davis, how happy are you that the Cowboys won this game?
Well, you know, as a fake Cowboys fan, it is always nice to start every game immediately being like, this team is the worst. They're going to lose every game. They're terrible. And, I mean, for them to come back and win that game was – I mean, that was – the Cowboys never do that, right? The Cowboys never win that game. They always get there and they miss the field goal or they miss the onside kick, and you're like, wow, they really gave it the old college try, and their yards per play numbers look incredible, and you're like, wow, Dak is incredible. And, yeah, like to see them actually win that game is really wild.
Very on brand for the Falcons. That was nice. But both your fake fan teams, the Chiefs and the Cowboys, both roaring come from behind victories.
Sammy and I are just rolling in our actual fandom of 2-0 teams with the Bears. And
the best team in the AFC.
Oh my
God. The Bears are 2-0. Can't doubt Trubisky.
What is Chicago radio going to be doing with Trubisky? Like, are they all in?
No, I don't think people are all in. People realize he's a fraud, but it's Allen Robinson, it's Anthony Miller. I mean, he's got weapons, and I think as long as he doesn't lose it, he just needs
the Montgomery catch and run.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
Hey, what did you think about that, Davis? You're a longtime fan of Montgomery's talent. Yeah.
You know, I mean, first off, anyone could have scored on it, but it just was nice. It was nice to see him do it. It's like, it's what you don't want to see is you don't ever want to have to consider playing David Montgomery on DraftKings. You just don't like, I do not want him to earn enough of the target share to ever have to consider playing him on DraftKings at like 6,200.
I don't think you will.
They paid Tariq Cohen instead of Allen Robinson, so I'm sure the target share for Montgomery will go up now.
The target share in Chicago, though, is just spread out so far that I don't think you're ever going to have to play running back.
Well, so we are going to have some big-time injury stuff to deal with for the slate next week because Saquon has a torn ACL, Cam Akers has broken ribs, Christian McCaffrey has an ankle injury and is scheduled to have an MRI on Monday. So there, it's going to be there's just going to be potential for us to have to think about some really bad running backs next week. They don't have the salaries posted for next week.
Is Saquon's confirmed ACL?
I think, well, I don't think it's confirmed, but I mean.
That's a huge bummer.
When you get carted off, like, it's not good.
No, he didn't get carted. He hopped off. But that's a huge, like, just true NFL. Like, Saquon, I, like, love watching him play. Like, when he's at his best, he is exciting.
I thought he got carted off.
No, he, like, hopped off. But it was, like, he wasn't putting any weight on.
I wasn't so watching the game. I actually didn't see it.
The Giants
are. I'm, like,
going
to be legit bummed if he's.
The Giants are at home to the 49ers next week with Todos Kondion, who played every running back snap after Saquon went down.
Oh, Mostert got hurt?
Mostert and Coleman got hurt.
Oh, snap. Is it
Coleman got hurt as well.
If it's
McKinnon season, I'm going all in. Whatever I have left on DraftKings, it's all going in the pot.
How much fab in your seasonal leagues will you have left after this week?
I have McKinnon on every team already, so I don't have to sweat it. I had to start McKinnon in a league today because I have a team that has Godwin, Sutton, and Galladay on it. So you just got to start them in the flex.
RB for the win, baby.
Let's see here some of the other running back injuries. The Rams play the Bills, so Daryl Henderson had like a huge game, and he is going to be on the main slate. And then the Panthers play on the road at the Chargers, maybe without McCaffrey. What would Mike Davis have to be priced at for you to play him, Sammy?
I mean, I'm probably 4K or under.
No chance I'm playing Mike Davis. No chance.
If he was 4,200, Nate, would you play him?
No chance. Literally, McCaffrey has even like not gotten the workload that we were hoping for.
It's one less guy though.
I mean, here's the thing: if you think running backs don't matter, you just jam in Mike Davis and say, "Hey, thanks for making McCaffrey half price."
No, there's going to be so much running back value next week.
What would Jonathan Taylor have to be? What would Jonathan Taylor have to be for you to not play him against the Jets at home? I'm thinking like 9,000. I would not play him. Maybe.
Seven. Yeah, I'm gonna put the line at 88.
Seven. He got 29 touches, dude. You are locking him in at 7K.
He's still on the Colts. I like
Nate.
Nate, it's the Jets.
Mate, you just got to play people against the Jets. Look,
you're going to pay $7,500 for him?
I would not only would I do that, I would consider locking him in tournaments at $7,500.
Yeah, bro, you got to understand, like, there's always a couple teams every year where you just play guys against them no matter what, and you figure out who those teams are very early. And that team is the Jets. Like, it's them. You just got to not play Jets in cash and play folks against Jets. Like, this is how you get rich. I've figured out the key to the 2020 season already. Like, this is it. It's very easy.
Dude, Nate, he got 29 touches, and he's about to play the Jets at home.
Come on, bro. Jonathan Taylor, he's the boss. You got to play him.
Oh, he's the boss. Yeah. I'm also saying at $7,000, that's a significant portion of my salary I'd be allocating.
Nate, you played Derrick Henry for $7,900 today. Like,
and Jonathan Taylor, I think, already has more NFL catches than Derrick Henry does in 4 years, I believe. I'd have to double check my data on that fact one, but check, I believe that's true. So we are recording this before the Sunday night game, but next week on the main slate, we have Cowboys at Seahawks. If we get two straight weeks of Russ with 35 plus pass attempts, so they're about to play against the Patriots right now, are we just going back to the well with Dak, Russ,
DK,
CD, Gallup, Cooper? Yeah, DK.
Let's go. There's also those magic teams. Those teams like the like Tampa Bay last year where they score a ton of points and they give up a ton of points.
Is that team?
Dallas might be that team. They might be it. Byron Jones is out. Like, they ain't got no defense left. Van Der Esch is dust. They have nothing. But they can score. Like, that's the kind of team you want to play.
Yeah.
I
hope we see Russ Cook again tonight.
We also have this is going to go really under noticed because it was just like a terrible game for the Eagles, but Miles Sanders is
back.
Yeah, like, I mean, he is looking like a guy who should have gone sixth overall in
fantasy
drafts.
That's what I'm saying. Miles Sanders will be like $7,000 next week. You're going to pay.
And I mean, I will snap play Jonathan. I'll bet you right now Jonathan Taylor more fantasy points than Miles Sanders next week.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor.
Would you like to book that one?
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor on a 25.5 team total versus the Eagles. Dude,
I'm just telling you, Jonathan Taylor is getting 28 DraftKings points next week. Like, and you can do with that information what you will.
Dude, Nate, the guy's the truth. Like, you got
Nate. Understand. He's like literally Saquon Barkley, dude.
Yeah. Look, you got to buy the stock. You got to buy the stock before.
This is
$300.
This is like when Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson used to be 8,200 instead of 10,000.
Yeah, dude, you got to understand this is an art, and this is where artists make their money.
Davis, he had two targets today. He had two targets. I am not like
and 27 rushing attempts, dude.
For like a four and a half yards per, like, what are you?
100-yard bonus, 100-yard bonus, dude. Lock it up.
He's a Derrick Henry on a worse team. Like,
oh my God.
So, dude. Nate,
you are backing yourself into a corner you do not want to be in right now.
I actually like Jonathan Taylor. I'm just saying, you guys are going to be paying 8K for him like freaking fish.
Dude, you're
I'm fine with him at first.
Nate.
Oh, my gosh.
Nate, the people are going to come at you for this one, dude.
Yeah, this is not the fade you want to make, Nate. You want to fade Devontae Adams.
You know why
Davis
you're going
to
be able to
play someone at a 3K price hike and think it's a good idea?
Who cares what it was hiked at?
Yeah, who cares? You know what? Nate's already setting up to play Jonathan Taylor next week, because he's going to play Jeff Driskel in cash against the Buccaneers. Driskel is going to be 4,800 against the Buccaneers, and he's going to play him.
That actually does sound like a sharp Nate move.
Yeah. Like when you played Matt Schaub.
And I crushed you guys.
And he crushed. We might get to play Cam, though, because he plays the Raiders next week at home. Again, pending the results of Sunday night, we don't know. Maybe Cam looks terrible against the Seahawks. Probably not, but maybe.
Yeah, maybe he gets hurt like everyone else. Who knows?
Washington football team against the Cleveland Browns. That looks like another decent one.
Hey, was it a major troll job for Antonio Gibson to get in the zone the week after everyone played him?
I mean, who could have predicted that Peyton Barber would not have kept him on the bench when the team needed to win? Who could have predicted? Yeah. All right, boys. That's the Gilcast. Sammy, do you have any words you'd like to leave the people with?
Yeah, we're huge fish for ever playing Julio Jones and two Jets in cash. Don't ever do it again. We survived this week, but we won't be so lucky next time. Let's learn from this.
I would really like to learn from it. Thank you to CeeDee Lamb. Thank you to Deontay Johnson.
You to the Falcons who gave you guys a chance to get a 10-point CeeDee Lamb swing there at the end.
Love to beat Nate in our three.
Sorry, I finished last again, Nate.
You guys literally should have been dust.
Thank you.
Some money, bro. Just hit me up, man.
Yeah, thanks, CD.
I'm watching Devontae Adams stand on the sideline with his helmet off the whole second half, and you guys are turning on some of the most insane win probability returns I've ever seen.
They were 2% to win.
And then CD Lamb gets there on a bonus. Oh, you guys lucked out that are still
CD number 88, dude. Once he got number 88, you knew he was going to be a legend. And that's how it goes. All right, everyone. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll be back next week.